You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast, recorded live at our Manchester campus. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.
You feeling good? The sun's out. Come on, the sun is out. Three people are excited about that. I know we're used to it in Manchester, but yeah, come on, the sun's out, people. We've had 2 days in a row, not just 2 days in the year, 2 days in a row. Can we thank God for that? Who's brought your Bibles with you today? Just wave if you got a paper copy of the Bible. You get a special place in heaven. And everybody else, you've got the Bible written on your heart, right? And how many people you've memorized the entire Bible is all there. Just John Shelton. All right, good. Well, this shapes our life. Amen. When we open the Bible, God's word speaks powerfully to us. Even thousands of years later, this book can change your life. And we just want to make sure that everybody knows every Sunday that this word of God is timeless. It is the truth in a world. Pastor Glenn spoke a couple of weeks ago. What's truth? And the way you find the truth is here. When you open the pages, you'll discover Jesus. And he declared himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to know which way to go, come to Jesus. If you want truth in your life, come to Jesus. If you want to know what life and life to the full is, come to Jesus. And so, God, we just thank you for your word. As we open it today, God, we pray that your word would do what it's done for thousands of years. Encourage us, strengthen us, speak to us. And we thank you that you can transform us in just the few moments we have together in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. The band, you can grab your seats. Give them a round of applause. Good job. You know, when Emily said we've been married 23 years this year, when we were first dating, you know, I was going to say 10 years ago, but giving it away there. So a lot of years ago, I had a pager. No one's laughing because you've got no idea what a pager is. Anyone have a pager? Come on, you 45-year-olds, get those hands in the air. Come on. A pager was like, it was basically someone had to phone an operator, tell them the message to the operator. They would go to their typewriter, type it in, and it would pop through to your pager, and it would just have a certain amount of characters only. And then you had no ability to reply to the message. And so whatever someone paged you, you just had to do what they said. And that's how we spent our lives living. But, you know, and then I was 25 years old and I got my first mobile phone. It was absolutely massive. You know, I'm a uni, no, it's rubbish. And then, you know, phones got smaller and now they're getting a little bit bigger. And basically our entire lives are not just on this phone, but are governed by this phone. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, I'm going to do something. This is a public health warning. And I've warned you, so don't email in. But I'm going to do something that could offend and hurt some people in the room right now. Okay, are you ready? Just tell me you're ready because just I'd need your consent. Okay, this is it. Are you ready for this? I know it's big. I'm going to take this to the next level. Now, we've all consented, right? We're all good with this. This could hurt some people. Might just have a little twitch or freak out. Watch this. I know. But, you know, our lives are just governed by these devices, and often they're kind of surgically attached to our bodies, and we freak out to step away from the phone because we're bombarded every single day with thousands of messages. Well, not me, just you guys. You're more popular, but, you know, one or two, maybe. But our messages aren't just from the people that know us. And some of them love us and have encouraging messages. Some of them just want something from you. And others, you get messages from people that don't even know you and don't love you, but want things from you. Through social media, you're getting messages from people that no interest in you, but telling you how you should live, what you should wear, what you should say, the places you should go and shouldn't. And we spend our lives trying to live up to the expectations of people that we're never even going to meet, let alone have any importance in our lives. And it's no wonder they call this generation the anxious generation. But the truth is, anxiety is not just defined by an age demographic or a generation, because anxiety is common to every single one of us. Every one of us has bills that come into our emails, and some of them overdate, and we're trying to work out how we're going to get things together, or we've got, you know, a relational crisis over here that we're kind of just managing and trying to make things work out, and we've got a deadline with work that we need to meet, and we've got different expectations of people that we do value their input in our lives. And so every one of us has certain degrees of anxiety that we're all facing every single day. And a big question that I have today, I think many of us face this question, is how do we find peace in an anxious world? I believe that the Bible can help us answer that question. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, the Bible says, cast all of your anxiety onto him, God, because he cares for you. I want everyone in the room to understand today that you have, thanks Tash, seamless. Give Tash a round of applause. You have a God who invites you to cast all of your anxious thoughts, all of your anxious ways, all of those things that you're holding in your heart and your mind. God invites you to cast them onto him. And the reason being, because he cares for you. John 14, verse 27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Therefore, do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Anxiety does not have to rule our hearts and our minds, because God has given us a spirit of power, of love, and of sound mind. Could you put your hand on your head and the other one on your heart? God, we just pray right now, and we declare in this room that anxiety has no space and place in this room. God, we declare peace in the powerful name of Jesus. We cast out all anxious thoughts, anxious ways, all heavy burdens. We lay them down as, God, you invited us to do. God, may you rule in this place. And may your peace saturate every one of our hearts and our minds in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. I want to introduce you to Gideon in the Bible just for a moment. And if you've been a Christian for a longer amount of time, you'd know about Gideon. He's a hero. We find him in the book of Judges, which a few weeks ago, we were looking at a series about how this incredible book is made up in terms of categories of books, and those, the ways they're written determine how we should read them, and then therefore how we should take meaning and translate them in our lives. And so Judges is one of the books of history. And so we're reading in Judges about real men and women who lived on the planet, live real lives. And when we read their stories in hindsight, we read about people when we actually read about these heroes, we discover they're more like us than we maybe thought. And Gideon is one of the main characters in the book of Judges in the Old Testament. And when we read about Gideon, we find something that's going to help us with this question. How do we find peace in an anxious world? And I think God, the same God that we worship, he came to Gideon at that time. And we can find some incredible truth through what he encountered. For context, in verse 1 of Judges chapter 6, the Bible says that the Israelites, which were God's chosen people at the time, the people that understood the law of God, the ways of God, and were, you know, living for him. But the Bible says through the history books that one minute the people of God were living for him, living in accordance with his laws and his ways and obeying him and enjoying the favor of God that came from that. When you live under the environment, you receive the blessing of that environment. And so the Bible explains how they received the blessing because they were living according to God's set up principles and laws. But they got to certain stages of life and then they just thought, well, you know, we're pretty good. We don't need God. And so they turned their backs on God and started to live the way they wanted to. You know, they started living more hedonistically and just pleasing their own feelings and thoughts and living their own way in ignorance of God. And this is that moment in Judges chapter 6, verse 1. The Bible says, puts it this way, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of God. The original language when it's speaking about the Israelites turning their back on God and living, as it says, evil, the original words are talking about they're living in turmoil. They're living in anarchy, in an environment of chaos. And a Bible wisdom in Proverbs, which is Proverbs is a book full of incredible life wisdom. And Solomon says in Proverbs 29, verse 18, without vision or without progressive revelation, that's an understanding of who God is, then we cast off all restraints. And that's what the people are doing. They've cast off all the laws, all the principles of God, thinking, oh, we'll set the parameters ourselves. And therefore, the consequence of that is they find themselves living in chaos and anarchy and turmoil. And they live in an environment where they are overwhelmed by anxious thoughts and anxious ways. The Bible says the Midianites, the enemies came and they took all of the Israelites' land, all of their cattle, all of their assets. And so now the Israelites are living in an environment where the economy is going through the floor, where jobs are scarce, where all their assets have been stripped, and everything that they may have been able to put their trust in has been stripped away from them. So living in this environment where anxiety is just causing them to live defensive. And yet in that moment, God comes to this man, Gideon. It's an incredible encouragement that when we are living, when we're overwhelmed by the stuff of life, when we're overwhelmed because the economy's going through the floor and we can't get that application for that visa approved and we can't find the job that we're looking for and the family situation isn't changing. It's an incredible encouragement that even in our anxiety, God can come and speak to us. Whenever God speaks to us, he brings comfort even in your chaos. And I want to encourage you, just as Gideon saw that God was with him, then we can see the same. In Judges chapter 6 and verse 22 to 24, Gideon realized that the angel of the Lord was with him and he exclaimed, "Alas, sovereign Lord, I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace, do not be afraid. You are not going to die." So Gideon built an altar. He worshiped God there. And he called this place, "The Lord, my peace," Jehovah Shalom. And today you can find Jehovah Shalom in the middle of your anxiety. I want to just look at a few anchors that for anxiety, that in the middle of the chaos, what can we put our trust and our hope in? What truth that Gideon found is going to help us today? And the first thing is this: finding peace is knowing that you're not alone. Verse number 12 of Judges chapter 6, when God sat down with Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty man of valor." The Lord is with you. So Gideon, in this environment that we've spoken about, with anxious ways, running amok and questions and wondering how he's going to get through another day, God sits with him and says, "The Lord is with you." When you know someone's with you, it changes everything. When I was a kid and you'd have nightmares in the middle of the night, what's the first thing you'd shout out? "Mom." And then your mom would come into the room, sit with you. She didn't need to like rationalize your dream, your nightmare. She didn't need to give you just the, you know, full meaning of what's going on or even a prophetic revelation. All your mom would do is sit with you. And it was just a matter of time, because you knew someone was with you, that peace would come. And Gideon sat in the wine press and God speaks to him. Gideon's in a wine press, the Bible says, threshing wheat. Now, you would never thresh wheat in a wine press. If you want to thresh wheat, what you would do, you'd bring the crop in and you'd thresh wheat in an open and an expansive place. Because in that open, large environment, the wind would come and it would blow all the chaff away, all the stuff that you didn't want, so that you were left with what you did want and you could use for food. And yet the Bible says in Judges 6 that Gideon is threshing wheat, not in an open, expansive place, but is threshing wheat in the wine press. A wine press is the opposite. It is a small, remote, confined environment, because you'd be crushing grapes, and what would come out of the grapes? No, grape juice. But the liquid, so the environment had to have boundaries, and it was a small, confined place. Why is Gideon threshing wheat in a small, confined place? It's because he's living in an environment of anxiety, and he's worried about this crop. I may never receive anything again. So I don't want to be in an open, vulnerable, large, expansive environment. Because I may lose everything that's come in. And so rather than be in the expansive place God would want him to be, he's in a wine press, confined, living defensive, holding on to everything that he's got, hoping he doesn't lose anything. When we allow anxiety to define our life and our experience, what we do is we retreat back into a defensive mindset. We retreat back into isolation. It's in this environment that God takes the initiative and he sits with Gideon, not only in the expansive environment, but where Gideon's retreated back into the wine press, God meets him there. And God wants to meet you right now in the middle of your anxious place, in your confined place, in the place where you've retreated to. God is able to come to you. He's able to sit with you. And he says, "The Lord is with you." And if you know God is with you, then the Bible says in Romans 8, then who can be against you? The first anchor we need to understand today, right where we are, is God is with us. Finding peace is knowing that we are not alone. The second thing is finding peace is knowing that you have more than you think. In verse number 14, in Judges chapter 6, God sits with Gideon and says, "You're not alone. The Lord is with you, mighty man of valor." And then he says, "Go in the strength you have. Go in what you already have. Gideon's retreated back to this defensive place, holding on to what he's got. And yet God says to him, you've already got everything that you need. You've got everything you need. Now, Gideon does not feel like he's got everything he needs, right? Gideon is feeling isolated, alone. He's feeling weak. In fact, his first response back to God is, don't you know who I am? You must have the wrong person. Because I didn't know you were with me. I didn't know I was a mighty warrior. I don't feel like that. I feel like I'm trying to hold on to survival. And yet you're speaking to me about my future. And you're now saying that I've got everything that I need to go out of this place and to live the expansive life that you're calling me to live. Go in the strength that you already have. Sometimes you have the very thing that you need, that God has equipped you with. And Gideon's like, you got the wrong person. He says, God, don't you know, Judges chapter 6, don't you know that my family is the weakest, the most insignificant family in the whole of our tribe? I mean, you could have picked a family with more prestige and more a better heritage, but you've picked my family, we're the weakest. And not only that, God, in case that's not enough, I'm the weakest and the most insignificant of all of my family. Isn't this amazing how God has this habit of selecting the weak, selecting those who have been injured and selecting those who don't have it all together? And so God speaks to Gideon, I'm not coming to you because you're from the family of notoriety. I'm not coming to you because you're the strongest or you necessarily think you're the most equipped or you've got life together. I'm coming to you for the very reason that you don't think you have everything together, because your reliance is solely on me. And so Gideon, you have everything that you need. The Bible says to us in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, His divine power has given us everything that we need for the godly life through our knowledge of Him who's called us by His own glory and goodness. Finding peace is understanding that even though we may not feel like we have it all together, through God's grace and God's power in our lives, He has given you everything that you need, not to take the step right over there, but just to take your next step. You have more than you think. You have the strength that you need to get up tomorrow. You've got the strength that you need to start your day and open the Word of God and just pray and invite God to come and meet with you in your wine press. You've got what you need to hear this powerful Creator God come and encourage you and lift you up and strengthen you and tell you that my divine power rests on you. You've got more than you think. The last thing is this, is finding peace, is knowing that you can be victorious. Verse number 16 of Judges 6. God says to Gideon, you are going to defeat the Midianites. You're going to overcome. In this moment, Gideon goes from being overwhelmed and overcome to becoming an overcomer. He goes from victim of everything that's happened to him, victim of his family history and victim of his tribe and his clan and victim of his experience through being overtaken by the Midianite army, being a victim of the lack of resources as his land has been stripped, the economy shut, being stripped of relational strength as he has retreated back to the wine press. And yet God says to him, no, I'm with you. You've got more than I need, and you will be victorious. In that moment, what's changed? Nothing's changed. Gideon is, this is, hasn't been a progressive word from God that as he takes a step, I know you're with me. Right now, step out the wine press. You're stronger than you think. Okay, I'll try a few reps. I'll try something. No. As he starts to slay some Midianites, God says, I think you can win this. No. God's speaking at the start of the process. God's speaking prophetically to Gideon. I know you're the weakest. I know you're from the weakest family. I know the Midianites are outside the walls of this environment. I know that you've lost everything. I know that you've been stripped of everything. I know all of those things, but still, you're going to overcome. You are going to overcome. And Gideon's like, God speaks a word of faith. All you need is to hear. Hear the word of God, and faith can be ignited today. If you believe, even in the middle of your anxious ways and your anxious thoughts, if you can hear that God said to Gideon, you shall defeat your enemy. You can hear the same God just say, a few years later to us today, you're going to defeat all of the enemy that's been so overwhelming in your life. You're going to defeat through the power of God. His power is going to be made perfect in your weakness. It's in that environment, finally, Judges chapter 6, verse 22, we read, that Gideon falls to his knees in the wine press. God, you're with me. God, I have more than I thought. I've got your divine power right now. And you've spoken that I'm going to defeat my enemy. So in that moment, Gideon's response is to build an altar of worship, sacrifice. What's he doing? He's lifting up his eyes from the wine press. He's lifting up his eyes from what he's doing. He's just lifting up his hands and he's saying, God, worship you. I worship you. I worship you. And his very words are, the revelation that comes to Gideon is, you are Jehovah Shalom. You are the Lord who is peace. You are the Lord who grants me peace. And today you can experience Jehovah Shalom, the Lord your peace.
Thank you for listening to the Audacious Church podcast. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.